He's been working with it for a long period of time. And now Lars Eriksson will proudly present to us the study that he has performed on use of skolleners. And Lars has been a scientist or employed at the university, and now he has done this study, and he'll present the results for us, and we will take the results back into the community and work further with him. So please give a welcome to Lars, and let's listen to his findings.
Yes, thank you. So, when I'm not making conferences, I am a social anthropologist by training. And, well, here's something like advice. And this summer I was employed by School Linux. I didn't only do it by love, but by I actually made money on it. And, not a lot of money, but enough, at least, to leave everything else and just work for School Linux, which I've been doing since May this year. So I was asked by School Linux to find out what's wrong with School Linux, basically. And I could have called my report, what's wrong with School Linux, for them in order to improve School Linux. And I was to ask teachers and to have their experience of how they, as end users with no technical skills, experienced School Linux and how it could be improved. So I was to go out in Norwegian schools and interview teachers and to see how they experienced this system and how then it could be improved. And I worked for 1 month with collecting data and basically do most of the writing. So, and that's not a very long time. It's a short and quite small research project. So I didn't know if I was going to find anything interesting or if I was just going to repeat what everybody knew or anything like that. It didn't have to be a discovery, you know. It's a short time, and I couldn't know if I was going to find anything that could be useful for anyone, or if I just come up with trivial what everybody knew. And I think at least I made an sort of discovery, at least for myself, and I think it was very interesting. And I analyzed it, and I looking at this small data, I think I could also say that what I discovered the love of School Linux and the importance of people who use a computer, and it could be anything else, could probably be a car or whatever, that if you do use it, if you engage emotionally in it, then it will work better. So computers need love. That's my result. And I'll try to make sense of it, not love in a very anthropomorphic or, you know, very, not this kind of love necessarily, but some kind of what love might be.
But scientifically proved.
Scientifically proved. I'll try. It's an argument, of course, but there is some kind of data, and I'll try to show you the data that supports this result. Okay, I can try to use this machine. That works. So the report, the real name of the report is School Linux in Use, a report made for Hurum Municipality, Agder University, and SLX Debian Labs. That's School Linux Debian Labs. That's the foundation of School Linux. And the title, it's available from the net page of this conference, and it's still only exist in Norwegian, but they are working to translate it. So it will be Jonas is still the head of translator.
71%.
71% translated into English. And then it will come in Chinese and 2,000 other languages.
Tonight.
So if you want to visit how we translate, come to the hotel.
Yes.
To the lobby.
Yes. Sure. So my mandate, is that an English word? Mandate?
Yes.
Was to find out what's wrong with school mix, and my result was it really fails when it is not loved. And in this talk I'll make sense of it, hopefully. So I was to search out expectations and experiences from end users, not the objective real errors, not those errors that can be put into a bug report, but those that are more soft, perhaps, experience. And I did that by interviewing 16 teachers at 6 schools in Norway that use School Linux. What did I write that? All schools.
Every school.
Every school got their own server. No, I'm not sure if this is really correctly translated. The point is that one school had their own server. The School Linux was as installation that existed only on one school, and on the 5 other schools, this the School Linux was run by the municipality, the local municipality. They then have the servers in the town hall of the municipality, and they have thin clients out in the schools, so they can have something like, there are something like, I don't know how many, 5 municipalities or something in Norway that has this solution.
So one school maintained the school by themselves?
Yes, one school maintained the whole thing by themselves. Or they have some company that do it for them. But, and the other schools, then there is some central servers and someone employed to do the central maintenance of the server. And all the thin clients are out in the schools. To build up this argument, I'll first show you how most of these teachers, these 16 teachers, actually use computers. And I'll say something about what works, and I'll say something about what does not work, and you'll see how the argument unfolds. So, these are the two things that people do. They surf the internet, especially the pupils, or the young students, and the teachers, they look for information, and the students or the pupils also do a lot of other things than searching for information. They chat and they do all kind of social life on the net. And in doing this, they use Firefox. And then the second task is that they write texts. They write pieces of text, and they do that by means of OpenOffice. And they do the combination of these two very basic tasks. They find information on the net and they copy it into the text editor or the presenter at OpenOffice, and they make a presentation or they make a text and they deliver this text to a teacher. That's what most of the people did, and very few people, students or pupils, used all the pedagogical software that they could use. And very few teachers encouraged any more advanced use, with some exceptions. Some teachers use GIMP for the aesthetic hours, and some do use the spreadsheet for mathematics. But basically, this is the main use. And here's a very simple example of such a basic use. This is from a teacher. This is a week plan, and it's made by making a table and adding information in it and finding some images on the net and pasting these images into the week plan, and then the teacher will make this on Sunday afternoon sometimes, and they will have it ready on Monday morning for the students or for the pupils. These are for the first lower grade teaching. And very few teachers have any education in using computers. They use computers as they have learned to do it by making text, making small invitations for the kids or writing a letter on the Microsoft Office Word, basically. And no, they had to do it on Writer, yes?
Is this a real paper or a teacher made?
This is really from a teacher who has made actually this one, yes. This is what they, the week plan of, not from the one of the schools that I studied, but from my own kids, the week plan of my oldest son this summer. Okay. And then there are some things that only works. And I wasn't set out to study that, the things that worked. I was to find out what did not work. But of course, it's good to clear the ground to see the difference. You have to know what works as well. So in studying what works, people generally to investigate it. It's a bit strange because people don't talk about that which work. All engineers know, they talk about what fails and then they get angry. And they have a lot of words. They can tell you a lot about the things that do not work. But they cannot tell you a lot about things that work. It goes without saying. It's just like the stick of the blind man. It works. And the blind man sees the pavement and the stick becomes invisible. Because the white stick for the blind man, by working, becomes invisible. Just like your glasses. If they work, they become invisible and you see through them. You don't see the glasses, so you don't bother about it. But so I had to investigate to find out things that work is basically things that people don't speak about. And KDE, the desktop, is one such thing. That very few, many of the teachers didn't even know what KDE is. It's just something, the background of the thing. And if it works, and if they had problem with it, they had problem that pupils saved files in folders that they didn't know where existed, so they couldn't find them. To recapture where they placed a file, not because of the KDE file system in KDE, but just because the students or the pupils didn't care about the address where to save it to. They just saved it and they didn't know even know the name of the file. That's quite common. And the email program also basically just works, even if they do not use email, so at least not in lower grade schools, they use other kind of messaging, like instant, like MSN, basically. So I won't talk much about that. We'll talk about that which failed. So some extremely basic failures among those 16 teachers sort of repeated itself as a sort of pattern. It's not statistically proved, it's just 16 teachers, but it's a clear pattern. So it's something in it, I think. Some teachers had problem with to do the copy and paste between Firefox and OpenOffice, which is an extremely simple thing to do, but which is also one of the common things that they actually do in the schools where teachers haven't had any special education in doing computer science, where they just use computers as they have learned from home. And they had some problems with the stability of the thin client networks. Sometimes they were thrown out of the system. They didn't know what happened. They were, or the screen just turned blank and they lost what they worked on. So the thin client somehow goes down, and the only solution sometimes is to hit the large button or even to pull out the electricity cord and jack it in again. And then they have problem with the formats, with converting between OpenOffice and Microsoft Word. Most of them used Microsoft Word at home and they had to convert between these formats. And they forgot to save in the right format. They forgot when they were at the school to save it in .doc. Because when they came home at their Microsoft Office, they couldn't open the OpenOffice document. And some of them had problems the other way around, because sometimes they made fancy tables, or not that fancy, but the table you saw, and it wouldn't open perfectly as the same in OpenOffice, even if OpenOffice is supports doc, it's not the perfect conversion. So, and then they had problem with what I call, that's my word, the proud identification, to be proud of school days. That's also an error. And that leads us to this thing about love that I'll return to. This thing had to do with this fact that many teachers talked about schoolings as cheap, and by being cheap, it's also inferior. Not only inexpensive, but crappy. That's what some people think of what cheap is. It's not only inexpensive, it's crappy. And the strange thing about my result is that I think that when people do think that schoolliness is cheap and crappy, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It actually becomes crappy or more bug-ridden. And then these errors are rising. Then at places where people think that schoolliness is cheap, you also have these three errors, more of them. And the reason why I think that there is something, some kind of psychological link, is because there is no, even I understand, if I'm not a technician and engineers tells me, there is no technical relation, cause or effect between these three errors. It's not the case that where people do fail in copy and pasting, these is causing the thin clients to go down. But still, these are clustered. They do appear at the same schools. So that's why I think there is something behind it which is not technical, but which is social or psychological. So that's, I really was talking about this slide already. At schools where there were people had problem with copy and paste, where they had thin clients that died, and where they struggled with their formats, they also talked about school Linux as cheap. And if I asked them what's good with school Linux, they would say it's cheap for the municipality. They save money, the municipality saves money. And they would add, but it would be better with Microsoft. And again, I would say that this is a general picture that is drawn from small set of data, and there might be other trends and differences, and if you look at the whole broad picture, you would get something which is more complicated, but there is a clear pattern in what I found. Two schools in the same municipality. These two schools, they have exactly the same hardware, exactly the same setup. They are connected to the same servers in the town hall. They have exactly the same wires going out to the schools, and the same thin clients. It's installed at the same time.
Identical, not the same.
Identical, okay. Yes, sure. I understand what you're saying. Identical. And at one school, many of the teachers I interviewed experienced errors. And at the other school, few teachers experienced errors. And at the school where few people experienced errors, they also used OpenOffice at home to a larger degree. Whereas many experienced errors, they had used Windows at home. And they talked about Linux as cheap. And they could say things like, I don't understand why pupils should learn Linux, who nobody would use later. Later on in life, they would go to work and use Microsoft Office, of course. Why should they learn Linux? Whereas at the other school where they had few technical problems, they would say something like, it's nice to provide students with OpenOffice with free download, because then we don't have to tell them to buy an expensive software. They can use to use the same as ours is free for them, and that's good for us to be able to say that to the students. And there's also at the school where they had many experienced errors, they also had problems. They also had what I think was a bad or better, worse communication with the centralized maintenance, with the engineers at the town hall. They experienced that they tried to report a bug and that they didn't really get very good answers, but they didn't get their problem solved. And then they gave up on reporting errors because it was no use anyway. Whereas at the school where there were a few errors, they also experienced that they were able to learn enough about the system in order to provide good feedback. And then they got their errors corrected, then they got the help they needed. And then they could see how actually that reporting back errors was taken seriously by the town hall engineers. And they could, the town hall engineers could actually use some of the free software possibilities to tweak the code, to write the script, or to even recompile OpenOffice and get rid of some errors. So the point is that where people experience few errors, they actually got less errors. And the point is not that this is not an easy cause and effect, it's a circle, because it's a good circle where people had good experiences with reporting errors and having them fixed and seeing that it helped and then becoming proud of the system and got some kind of minimal computer literacy in order to be able to report a bug, which was not a technical bug, but just saying how thing is wrong in a way that the engineer could understand. Because the people here were not able to communicate errors in a way that the engineers could understand in a way that made them actually repair or fix the bug. So with exactly the same machines, you got a system that worked better or worse, and it's not a absolutely it's not, it's a tendency, not really, you know, a radical dichotomy. So just to show you how extremely basic some of these errors that people experience is, here is a very basic error. With a copy and paste. What is a copy and paste error to a teacher who knows virtually nothing about computing? I show this to show how basic the errors we're talking about are, so that you can see what it has to do with engagement to do, how it's related to emotional engagement. One teacher told me, when I'm home at my Microsoft Explorer, I can just right-click on an image and I get save image as. No, copy image as. You get copy image as. Whereas on Linux or School Linux, I cannot do that. If I right-click the button, I don't get something saying copy. I get copy image location. I don't get copy image. So what can I do? What I had to do then, and the teacher showed me what she had to do. She had to save, she used... Send image. That's what she had to figure out. She could do send image, and then she got an email, her email program opened, and she sent the image to herself, and then she opened the email that she had sent to herself, and she saved it on the hard disk, and then she went to OpenOffice and opened it and pasted it and from the hard drive inserted it into OpenOffice. So I never understood that it could be the case. It's not possible to just copy an image in Firefox on Linux, or in Firefox probably on Windows as well. So what she never understood, this teacher, was that you had to mark the image. You had to take them mouse and drag it across the image. Where is it? You have to do something like this and click right click and left click and move the mouse over image, and it will be how, and it will be marked. And then if you right click, you get copy in Firefox. So then you can copy, but you have to mark it first. And she never understood it. And the whole school, not the whole school, but those teachers that I interviewed at this school didn't know this. And had this, then got the truth was established that copying from Firefox to OpenOffice has to be done through the hard drive, through saving on the hard drive and then opening the image. You can copy directly. So, but if you do this copy and then activate an OpenOffice Write image, you can paste it into the image, into OpenOffice. So it's basically a very simple thing to learn, but still it, a school can have problem, a sort of collective problem with this very simple problem. Yes?
What it all boils down to is that it's lack of education.
Yes, yes.
To teachers.
Yes, but and education has to be sought for. It has to be desired. And that the desire is the problem, not the education, the desire, I think. To be educated. I think we can come back to that. But that's definitely is true, but yes. But then it should also be mentioned that copy and paste in OpenOffice is difficult. It is much worse than doing the same thing in Windows and with Microsoft Office. And it is worse when you use Impress. Because Impress is really is too many. And you want to have add something? Yes, yes, yes. Cool. So, but if you use Impress, Impress is really has some problems with pasting from other applications, including pasting from Writer. It loses lots of the material, and it takes some piece of it, and it loses the rest of it. So that if you do use Impress, if you copy from Firefox to Impress, you have to save on the hard drive, and then open. Do the open insert image in Impress, so that some people have experienced this and they have generalized it to the whole office suite, open office suite. Whereas the strange thing then is that at the school where people were generally happy, at that the green school I talked about earlier today, they said, I asked them of the Impress then, what about copying to Impress? That is difficult, isn't it? Oh yes, you're right, it is difficult. We had some problem with that and then we figured out we had to do it through the hard drive and we forgot about it, that it was a problem. They didn't think of it as a problem and they just, okay, we'll do it that way. And then they was, well, no, never mind. So they had this sort of generous attitude toward a weak side of OpenOffice. They had some generosity towards it, whereas the school where they did not fancy school Linux, where it was cheap, they didn't have this generosity. So they was celebrating the flaws in some kind of sense, or they let the flaws become the truth rather than the solution. So the strange thing is then that this very simple error of copy and paste is correlated with the school that has thin clients that dies. And this is not a cause and effect, it's just a correlation. And there's something behind it. And it has to do, I think, with being a bit proud of school Linux. And if you're proud of something, then you can identify with it as something that you where you see the good sides, where you get the good sides of something become bigger and you don't care so much about the weak sides.
As a scientist, have you also considered the possibility that when you are so much in love, that you are blind to all the problems, so you cannot see, so you cannot tell about all the how shitty
yes,
your loved one
yes,
looks
yes,
like?
Yes, 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 yes. that's part of the same image or same thing. That's what love is about, you know? Love is about.
I mean, from your interview. So in your interview, you could not make them tell about all the things that they actually experience all the time because they couldn't see that it crashed all the time.
Yes, yes. I had explicit to ask the positive school, why don't you have problem with the impress then? Because impress is has the problem with copy and paste. It is really crap when it comes to copy and paste. Impress on school on OpenOffice, and then say, oh yes. And then they remembered. Oh yes, we had this problem, and they could, but they lost sort of. They had transcended it, and they were happy, and they found a solution and forgot to think of it as a problem. So that's. That's what love is about, you know. That's to be generous with someone's weak sides. That's love, and when you are generous with someone's weak side and you emphasize their good sides, the person in front of you will grow. The strong sides will become stronger, and the weak side will become weaker. So and that's true both about human beings and about machines. That's why it can be. That's why love is important to both human and machines. And it's a very different kind of love. But it still has this double thing.
Yeah.
If you love something, then it will prove to be better, and it will be actually will become better as an objective fact, because the thing out there will change.
So we don't need to develop our software anymore. We should just love it.
You could do very well with love. You would help a lot.
Well, I think it's necessary to be in front of the problems when you're trying to implement school Linux in a school. To we know about these problems, so
yes.
When you are having a staff in front of you, and you have to teach them the methods,
yes,
do
yes,
things
sure.
In front of that, then you can avoid those problems when it comes to your use.
You should tell them right away that Impress is crappy when it comes to copy and paste.
Just show them the way to
do
those things.
Right away, show
because
them.
Because then they. If someone tells me that it's this, you have to do it this way. This is how it works. It's okay by me, and I guess most of people will adapt and do things the way they are told to do it and accept it. But if you don't know, and you experience the problem there, everything would just feel crappy.
Yes, yes. And the good thing, and what I think also is that if you want to educate people this way, you have to start out a bit differently than what school Linux did 4 or 5 years ago in Norway, or because to a large degree school Linux was sold as the cheap, inexpensive solution. Save money. That's how you can roll out thousands of school Linux computers in Norway, is by telling the schools, poor Norwegian schools, they can save money. So I think that was a strategic mistake in if you think of it in hindsight or something, you know, it probably had to be done, but I think school Linux should do something else in time that comes, so that people will be engaged, because to get them to sit down and do this education, they have to want to be educated. They have to invest some emotional energy in going to this school and sit down and do it. And so the emotional energy has to be there. Yes.
I think it's really important that you do not underestimate the attitudes of the users.
Yes.
Because I'm teaching myself, and in my school I've experienced a great change in attitude amongst my pupils. When we changed from the old recycled computers to new ones. We started out with computers were thrown away by companies, so we could use them as thin clients. And we've later changed them on to thin clients that look great, they look better.
Yes.
And then they work better for the pupils as well. But they really don't, because they're exactly the same, but the pupils liked them a lot better. So. I really follow your cheap argument.
Yes.
And I don't think that should be used as such a strong argument as it has been in Norway.
Yes. Rob, did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I was just thinking of your two chart of the two schools, and like you said, so many times it comes down to attitude. And so I guess the problem is, how do you teach the teachers to have the right attitude?
Yes, that's right. And that's more about, that has to not to do about information, it's not that the informative, it's to sort of evoke some kind of emotional energy or attitude. Yes?
We made the experience in one school where we started that we had two rooms, one with Windows and one with Linux Terminal Server. Mm-hmm. The Linux Terminal Server was quicker to catch information from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads that the teachers like to, the class, the pupil, they like better to go to the school Linux room than the other one.
Yes.
And because of the sync lines, there was no noise in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It was quiet, the room. It's better to teach.
Mm-hmm.
In the other room, they were bzzz, we had to fight again the noise from the workstation.
Yes, sure.
There are schools in Germany, they use it like this, they cut off the internet from the Windows machine. And they said it's too dangerous with Windows to go to the internet because of virus and all. You can go to to the internet, but only with Linux.
Yes.
Well, it's also possible.
This experience so they can learn by these experiences. And one, the third school at this municipality that was between a green and a red. It started as a red and it turned into a green one. During at least how they talked about these teachers at this school, they were very negative in the beginning, and they were able to sort of overcome some kind of resistance and to take a more positive attitude and to see that when they did that, things started to roll better and to turn into a more positive experience. Yes. I did have another slide. I don't know if I want to take it. Shall I? The difference, it's a bit of philosophy. There is a difference between humans and machines, which I think Beatles was right about humans when they sang Money Can't Buy You Love. But money can't buy you love. Whereas with Beatles probably was wrong about machines, because money can buy love. If you have not money, if you don't have a good computer and if you don't invest anything emotionally in it, you can invest a lot of money and have something to fix it for you all the time. And that happens if you buy an expensive computer and you have an expensive agreement to have someone fix it all the time for you, then it can work quite well without love. Yes.
It's funny because one thing we've noticed as we deploy the OLPCs around the world is that the students truly love these little machines. They take them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They hate to put them down, not to be stolen, because they're addicted to them. It's been very fun.
Yes. Yes. Good. Okay. Any more questions? Okay. Then I'm happy. Thank you. So what's next on the program, Anna?